Welcome to the Rounds to Residency podcast, brought to you by Med School Coach. Each episode, get clinical rotation advice and tips to prepare for your externships and residency in healthcare. We interview preceptors and physician educators who will prepare you for your rotation and improve your clinical experience. Now, here's your host, Chase DeMarco.
Hello and welcome back. We had a bit of technical difficulties during the recording of this episode, so I did not do a proper introduction, and I realized that afterwards, so I want to do that now. For today's episode, we have Dr. Faustine Ramirez, and she is a tutor with over 10 years of tutoring experience, and she also scored in the 90th percentile on her STEP exam, so she has a lot of experience in studying for the steps, for the shelves, and has a lot of useful information for just clinical medicine in general. And that's something that we should all be interested in, especially as step one goes past failed. There's going to be a lot more focus on step two and your clinical work. So in this episode, we're going to cover a lot of that. And I kind of lean towards her being a bit of a study guru because she does have some advice that I hadn't really thought too much about. And that could be very useful for you, the audience. So please enjoy this episode with Dr. Faustine Ramirez. So I'm glad to have Faustine on today, and we're going to cover some topics that we don't cover as much. Usually we focus on the clinical education and the clerkship aspect of it, but not so much on more well-rounded, I would say, focusing also on study tips for step two and for your shelf exams, which we all need to really focus on, especially after step one goes pass fail. It's going to be extremely important. So Faustine, I'd like to pass the mic over to you a little bit and just kind of give us a little rundown about your experiences with your tests and with tutoring and what we're going to learn a little today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. So my name is Faustine Ramirez, and I'm a second year resident in pediatrics at UCSF. I was also at UCSF for med school and have been working with Med School Coach for about 3 years now, tutoring for both step one and step two, although I have to admit step two is my favorite. It's more clinical, it seems more relevant, and it's a lot easier to study for, I've found. So in terms of my experience with studying and tutoring for step two, I really like to take an approach from the very beginning of third year. I think it's really important to start thinking about this exam as early as the very first rotation. It seems like a long ways away, but for step two, we don't have as many centralized resources as we do for step one. I feel like for step one, our Bible is first aid. We have this one golden resource that we all use. For step two, up to this point, has not really existed. And so what I really recommend doing to the students that I work with, as well as what I did when I was a third year medical student, is to essentially create your very own study guide or first aid from the get-go at the beginning of third year. And I think of all the things I did as a third year medical student, that's the one thing that I think was the most valuable, was the most useful in terms of studying for shelf exams and also coming back to step two CK at the end of third year. So this is something with all the students that I work with that I recommend doing if I I'm so fortunate to be able to work with them at the very beginning of third year, because sometimes students work with me throughout their third year or even as they get closer to step two CK. And it's always so valuable to have that opportunity to mentor them through that process from the very beginning. And so what I recommend doing essentially is creating a very own study guide as you go through each rotation, using all the resources that you're using to study for your shelf exams, including online MedEd videos, UWorld questions, or any other textbooks or resources you're using, and to create files for yourself. So if you're going through your OB-GYN rotation, I have a separate folder for OB, I have a separate folder for GYN, and then I have separate note sheets that are covering a number of topics, for example. So in OB, you might cover labor complications, or you might have a note sheet for abnormal uterine bleeding, and then all the notes that you've taken as you're studying for that shelf go into that note sheet. And it's really useful to study for your shelf, but it's actually a golden resource. By the time you get to studying for step two CK, it's there, it's ready to go. It's your very own personalized first aid, but for step two CK. And I found that it's the most valuable individualized study resource because you've created it yourself. And so that's what I recommend creating for yourself as you're going through third year. And then you can use that as a resource when you're studying for Step 2 CK. And you can also add to it as you go along. And I found that to be probably the number one thing that I recommend for all third year medical students going through their clinical rotations.
See, I have so much difficulty with that because I'm spread out everywhere. Even though I talk about and write about organizational skills and other materials, I have some things in my Google Drive. I have some things written down. I have some things saved in like my bookmarks on my browser, and consolidating everything in a meaningful way that I can actually use for example, shelf or step test practice is really difficult. And the only thing that I found that worked for me to consolidate everything was kind of using an Anki deck and having that space repetition there. Because otherwise, I'm going to lose track of which topics are more important. Where should I have my focus on? Which areas are giving me the most difficulty? It seems like the notepad, whether it be digital or analog, can work for some people. Do you also recommend other types of like space repetition software like Anki or anything along those lines for students that you've tutored in the past?
Yeah, I think Anki is great if you have the time to have that timed repetition or that space repetition. And I think it's even more valuable when you are able to create those cards for yourself. The way I recommend using Anki is in a similar manner, but instead of writing those notes in a notepad or even in some sort of digital software, is to do kind of a combination of more of like a broad framework in your own notes, but then using Anki for those smaller memorization details. You really have to dedicate yourself to Anki. I feel like if it's something that you just pick up here and there, it really doesn't work well for you. But if it's something that you can consistently create your own cards for and consistently use throughout third year and then come back to when you're studying for CK, I think that's when it's the most valuable. So if students only have 4 or 6 weeks, that's just not enough time to be using Anki. Even if you're using pre-made decks, there are so many cards in the pre-made decks. It's incredibly hard to use that as your main source of content. But I've actually found that you can get the same, perhaps not the exact same, but very similar type of spaced and timed repetition as you would with Anki when you're using your own notes. So I'm actually a huge proponent of something like OneNote or Evernote that you can have on all of your devices. And that's something that I really encourage students to use, is if they have that luxury of having all year, all of third year to create their own notes, then I recommend having something they can have on their computer, on their phone. Even if they're working at a workstation at the hospital, they can pull up Evernote on the online platform and add to their notes there. And that's something that can sync across all of your devices. And I recommend using those notes and reviewing them on a very regular basis. So every night while you're on your rotations, in a more cumulative manner when you are on the weekends, and then trying to get through them maybe 2 or 3 or even 4 times prior to your shelf exam. And that timed repetition is a similar effect for memorization purposes as Anki. It's not as perfect in terms of like seeing the same cards and seeing the cards that you're having more difficulty with more frequently, but it does still give you that same timed repetition because you're using a system where you're seeing the notes you took that same day, the next day, maybe once at the end of the week, and then again as you're reviewing your shelf. So you're seeing them 3 or 4 times the same way that you would see an Anki card 3 or 4 times.
And yeah, I didn't even think about that. If you have a shelf exam in your rotations only a few weeks, you're not going to have a lot of time for that space repetition. And like you were leading into, there is the notepad aspect of it, whether it be Evernote or OneNote or some other note program, can be very useful for taking down notes anytime, syncing across your different platforms, but it doesn't give you that recall that you need to get it right before you flip the flashcard over kind of thing. So do you suggest any sort of mechanism to sort of make up for that? Maybe writing sort of like columns where you have the topic on one side and you're covering up the other side with your hand until you get it right? Or how do you approach that part of it?
Yeah, so I actually recommend using a bullet point format, where you put essentially what you would put on the front of the flashcard as the first bullet point, and then you tab to the next line for the content. So the way I organize my notes and the way I teach my students that I tutor to create their study guide is having the heading be the name of the disease, organizing them by system, and then having that heading be the name of the disease. And then each subsequent bullet point underneath is risk factors, and then you go to the next line, and then diagnosis, you go to the next line. Treatment, you go to the next line. And so every time you return to the next line, you can basically cover the subsequent lines with a sheet of paper, with your hand. Even if you're scrolling down, you can have that be at the very bottom of the computer screen so you can hide that. So the same way that you would see the front of a flashcard, try to recall it from memory, try to write it down, you can see that very top bullet point, try to recall it from memory, and then scroll down and see the answer. So it's essentially like a flashcard. It's just in a typed document or an Evernote instead of being in an Anki deck. And I think one thing that's the most valuable is the Control F function that you have in these types of documents, because you will inevitably do questions on the same topic and you'll feel like, oh, I'm sure I wrote something down about that, or I'm sure I already reviewed that. But it's really hard to find, especially if it's handwritten, where you did that. And so it allows you to organize your notes by disease, by system, and to keep them very organized in that sense. And that is really how step two is organized. It is a clinical exam. It's organized first by system and then by disease process. And all there are overlaps between these systems. It really does require you to know like the key features, risk factor, diagnosis, management, treatment, complications for each specific disease. And so that's how I recommend organizing your notes. And I do feel like Anki doesn't really allow you to do that unless you have one card per disease. But it is a great supplement if you have this broader structure or study guide that's organized by disease. And then you can use Anki for those little details that are really hard to memorize. And although we say that step two is easier, I think there are just as many challenging details to memorize for step two as there are for step one. And that'll be especially important going forward as we move towards a pass-fail step one.
Yeah, especially if maybe you didn't do too well on step one. So a lot of that foundational memorization is not down solid. So you don't necessarily have all the information to fill in the conceptual framework of step two. But I do like that process. And I like the search functionality that definitely helps when you have a lot of material or that you're looking for specifically, or you just need to check up a factoid real quick. That can definitely help significantly. And I know that besides just kind of studying for step one or step two or the shelves, we have a lot of other time that we can study in the hospital or during break or at home, and we need to focus on the patient aspect, the clinical aspect as well. I know you have some tidbits there about how to space out your studies and how to just sort of bring together the whole study aspect once you're in the clinical setting.
Yeah, I think it's really essential to both separate and think about your studies differently, both for your actual shelf and step studying and what you're studying in the hospital or in the clinic. And although sometimes those do overlap really nicely, sometimes they don't. And I can't tell you the number of times I've worked with students, or even I felt myself, the discrepancy between what I'm learning in the hospital and what I'm seeing on the board's exams. And so being able to think about those separately is so crucial. So you have what you're learning using UWorld, using online MedEd, using your step up to medicine, and that's this knowledge you have to know for the boards. And then there's the knowledge that you're gaining clinically, which a lot of that is not necessarily tested. It's just clinical skills and diagnostic reasoning, clinical reasoning, and that's super important. But then there's also the patients that you're seeing and the patients you're taking care of in the hospital during your clinical rotations. And I feel like it's really essential to study also based on those patients, because those are going to be patients that you will remember for years to come. And when you're seeing a question on hyperthyroidism or SIADH, you're going, if you've taken care of a patient with one of those conditions, that's the first thing that's going to come to mind. And sometimes that doesn't overlap perfectly with what you need to know for the boards, but it will provide a really great framework with how to think about that patient. And I think it's very important to do your reading about the patients you're taking care of. And maybe that means learning a little bit more or going into more nuance than you have to know for your shelf exams. But that extra reading you're doing, whether it's using up to date, the primary literature, or just, you know, using your residents and attendings' infinite medical knowledge and asking them about how they would manage a certain patient, I think it's really important to learn from your patients. And I think you can keep that in your notes if it's something that you've learned on up to date. Turns out it might turn up in a question in UWorld next week or on your shelf exam or even in your board studying. I feel like there's more and more level of detail required as we go along. And so you never know what might come in handy when you're studying. And I think that's a really important thing is even if it's a specialty that you're not particularly interested in, a lot of these clinical principles apply across specialties, and you never know whatever principle you're learning about in a given rotation, even if it's not something you're particularly excited about or planning on going into, it might still end up being relevant in whatever specialty you go into. And there's so much overlap between what we learn in rotations and specialties that I think it's, you know, really highlights the importance of paying attention, being involved, being engaged, asking important questions, trying to get involved with as many patients as you can, because it really adds that overall global body of knowledge that will end up being useful, as I've seen, regardless of what specialty you go into.
I think one of the mistakes that I made was being so nervous about my shelf exams and step two that I didn't necessarily focus as much in certain rotations that I wasn't very interested in. So might have missed out on some experiences there, although some of them were just limited on their own. And because I never actually saw patients with a lot of those diseases, I still have trouble remembering them. I never saw many of the things that we are tested on the shelves and step two during my rotation. So they have less of that experiential learning component that is very, very strong. So I definitely agree. It's important to take advantage of whatever you can while you can, because you might not see it later if you don't do it.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree.
Hospitals and universities spend countless hours mediating clinical rotations between students and physicians. Students can search out and request their own rotations. Preceptors will be notified of the request and decide if their schedule will allow it. Learners and educators regain control over their schedules while reducing staff hours and overhead. Go to findarotation.com for more information. That's Find a Rotation, your medical and healthcare clinical rotations platform.
There are plenty of things on rotations where you don't even realize as a third-year medical student what the clinical context is, or you haven't learned about that yet. And then you come back to it when you're doing questions or even later in your medical training, and you kind of make these connections later on. So I think that's really important to be as engaged as you can, because you never know what might walk through the door, and it might be something that's really going to contribute to your learning in some way.
Very true. And besides just sort of being interactive with maybe your preceptor and trying to see new patients, there's a lot more than learning about them. There's that personal development, the patient interaction, that sort of professionalism that you can also take this time to learn and should take this time to learn, just friendliness, kindness, and all of that. What are some of those interpersonal lessons that you feel can be learned, or how's the best way to approach that as a third or fourth year student or even early resident?
Yeah, I think as a medical student, whether it's a third year or even fourth year on your sub-I, you have infinitely more time than you will ever have as a resident. And I'm realizing now as I'm in residency how much I miss having that time where I would be able to get to know my patients, get to know the families, check in on them for multiple times a day for so much longer than you have the ability to as a resident, because you're busy returning pages, rounding, putting in orders, calling consults. And the actual time that you have to spend with your patients is a lot more limited than you imagine when you think about what your career is going to be like as a doctor. Residency doesn't always fit what you imagine. And part of that is because you have a lot of different tasks that you're responsible for, a lot of different responsibilities. And so as a medical student, you have less of those responsibilities. And although it can feel frustrating at times that you don't have that responsibility, you also have the luxury of being able to just be with your patients, spend time with your patients, get to know them. And you can actually be a really valuable asset to your team because of the time that you do have and the ability that you have to make these connections and relationships. So if you have the ability to, I would recommend spending as much time as you can with the patients that you're following. You know, when you're doing your H&P, you're going to be able to take a much more thorough H&P than a resident might, because they're trying to admit 5 patients and you're only admitting 1. And so you might be able to gather more information about the social history or about the pertinent positives or pertinent negatives, or you might be able to gather more family history. And all of those elements are really important for the overall clinical picture. They're also really important for rapport. And you might be the person that patient actually looks to, because they will have the closest connection to you on the entire team. And so they will feel more comfortable sharing things with you, and you might be actually able to get more relevant information than someone else on the team. And so you want to use that role to your advantage. You want to use that as a strength as a medical student because you have that time to get to know your patients on a more personal level. And that will really be beneficial. Like thinking about pediatrics, for example, as a pediatrician, a lot of our interactions with patients depend on the child's ability to trust us. And you can imagine toddlers or young preschool age kids who have a lot of stranger danger and don't really want to be examined or don't want a stranger to be poking and prodding them. And so if you have the ability to get to know them, to play with them, for them to start trusting you, then you might actually be able to get the best exam in the entire room, despite being in a room filled with very experienced attendings or supervisors. So these are some examples of the ways that you can make yourself valuable as a medical student on a team and really getting to know your patients well.
I think that's great advice. And I mean, now we've covered two very important components of being a student and a resident, and that's studying for your exams and actually gaining the clinical and experiential knowledge that is required to be a good physician later on and a good student now, potentially. But there's another topic that I know we were going to talk about, and that's sort of the personal care aspect. And there is a lot that can go into this. I know you have a lot of advice for this. Why is this so important? And what are some tips that you would suggest that can really help students stay above board?
Yeah, I think that's a crucial aspect. I always tell the students that I work with that third year is truly a marathon and not a sprint. And each individual rotation in a way feels like a marathon. And then you put it all together with all of third year and you look back and you're like, wow, that was a really hard year. And you have to, it's hard to imagine that jumping into it, but it is such a long year. There are so many expectations as a third year medical student, and you feel continuously pulled in a million different directions, including your clinical responsibilities, your academic responsibilities, starting to think about choosing a specialty, trying to think about all the things you need to do to be able to match next year into the specialty of your dreams, including research, community service, advocacy, engagement in your community, all these things that you feel like you have to be doing all at the same time. So it really is a marathon. And I think it's crucial to make sure to take care of yourself and to do those things that make you happy. And that can be anything. That can be spending time with family. That can be exercising, going to the gym, cooking, reading, whatever it is that makes you happy and makes you feel like a normal human being, which I think as a medical student, sometimes you can easily lose track of, especially when you're so engrossed in the day-to-day in the hospital. So it's so important to just get outside of the hospital, go spend time with friends outside of medicine or people who are not in medicine and just have conversations with them and remember what it's like to not be a medical student for a half day a week or a day a week, whatever it is that you need. I think it's essential to take at least a half day off a week from studying while at the same time doing a little bit every day. It's kind of this balance of a little bit every day with that balance allows you to be more well-rounded than trying to cram everything in at the very end. And that cramming is really not beneficial for your long-term learning and for your long-term Step 2 CK studying. So I think it's better to do a little bit every day, but to still fit in those things. It doesn't have to be every single day that you go to the gym or that you spend time with family, but making sure at least once a week you're fitting in those things, if not more, and thinking about your overall wellness just as a human being and as a person who's not exclusively in medicine, but has a lot of different interests. You want to really cultivate those interests and continue doing them, even if you feel like it's at the expense of your studying. In the long term, it's probably beneficial for you.
I feel like it's just like the same concept as spaced repetition for studying. You want to do everything a little bit over a long period of time. You don't want to cram before the exam. You don't want to do all of your workouts, like 3-hour workout in one day and then nothing the rest of the week. And building those healthy habits is more stable and more fun. And just, I guess, probably having a routine is also just mentally a good thing to do when you're very, very busy.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think these are things you'll carry with you into residency, into your medical career, wherever that may be. It's not necessarily healthy to be cramming for all of your exams. And I think in life, like cramming for things is not necessarily going to be the most productive way to accomplish your goals. And so if you start developing these habits now as a medical student, it's going to be so helpful for you for the rest of your medical career.
Definitely agree. Well, you also are a tutor with Med School Coach. So I'm wondering if you have any parting thoughts and then also just where the audience can find out more about you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in terms of third year studying and Step 2 CK studying, I think we're going to see this big transition over the next couple of years as we're going from Step 1, which used to be really the more predominant exam and felt like the score for Step 1 mattered more, towards Step 2 being a number score, whereas previously only Step 1 and Step 2 were number scores. I think it's going to really go in the right direction in terms of prioritizing the learning that is the most important, which is clinical learning. And that really involves not just studying for your board exams, but also being involved clinically and trying to soak up as much as you can as a medical student. And so I think, you know, my key takeaways for third year are just to be really engaged, no matter the specialty, even if it's something that you don't think you're going to be going into. You never know what those personal connections might lead to. You never know where your performance might lead. Such a small world in medicine. And I think that engagement and just being excited about what you're doing and trying to soak up as much as you can as a medical student will really serve you well. And I feel like it will help you for your learning across all fields. And I can't stress enough learning from your patients, doing a little bit of reading on your own about your patients, and seeing how that merges with the clinical learning that you need to do for boards. And marathon, not a sprint, is one of the most important things. And I can't stress that enough. In terms of where you can learn more about me, the Med School Coach website, I do Step 2 and shelf exam tutoring, and I would be more than excited to work with any of you and to share my insights and tips and tricks. So that's where you can learn more about myself and Med School Coach and the tutoring services that we offer.
Perfect. And I think we can put some links in the show notes, including your personal link, so they can come and contact you if they have any questions about just the topics we've discussed so far. And I just want to thank you, pediatric residents, and our resident study guru, Dr. Faustine Ramirez. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your advice with us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. This was really a great experience.
The Rounds to Residency podcast is powered by Med School Coach. To access Med School Coach services, like USMLE tutoring or residency admissions advising, visit our website at medschoolcoach.com. Good luck as you prepare for your board exams, and we hope you tune in again next time.